Addicted to Love is created and presented by theroyalpath.com.
Love can be the most wonderful, heart-opening, and nourishing wonder that gives the touch of magic to our experience called life. Love, however, can also be the most devastating and challenging obstacle that can break your heart into a thousand pieces. One of the reasons why it is so hard is that love is often mistaken for a dependency or can even be an addiction. Learning love is like any other discipline. If you want to be good at it, you have to master it. And that is what you learn in this show. Welcome to Addicted to Love. Welcome back to Addicted to Love. I am so happy that today I have another wonderful featured expert for all of you. I'm talking about Sherry Geba, who is a psychotherapist, life coach, and certified recovery coach, specializing in individual, couples, family, and group psychotherapy, and maintains a private practice in Westlake Village, California. Sherry has more than 20 years of experience as a clinician, specializing in addictions, relationships, codependency, trauma, parenting, divorce, and single parenting. She is the host of the Recovery Today Summit and the editor of Recovery Today magazine. She's also the author of the award-winning book, The Law of Sobriety, Attracting Positive Energy for a Powerful Recovery. Sherry is an often requested speaker in person and on global internet webinars and has presented at national conferences and to general audiences on numerous topics. She co-hosts on the KVTA AM radio show, The Brighter Side of Recovery, Families and Couples in Crisis, and was the go-to expert for Dr. Drew Pinsky's Celebrity Rehab Show on VH1, and later on, the spin-off VH1 Sober House, as well as Celebrity Rehab Sex Addiction. Sherry recently released her book, The Marriage and Relationship Junkie, that I've just finished reading. I think it's an awesome piece. Let me welcome Sherry. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're so welcome. I'm really grateful and I love what you're doing in the world.
Thank you. I'd really like to start with you. Maybe you want to share a little bit about your own story and especially what made you write this book.
So this book was on my mind for a long time, probably at least the last 20 years. I had had multiple relationships, multiple marriages, and I felt a lot of shame around it. I felt a lot of shame around my divorces, and I really wanted to eradicate the stigma around those people in the world that do have multiple relationships or multiple marriages. There are reasons that we make these choices, and they're not mistakes. They're just lessons. Yes. And it can really come from different parts of your life. For me, it was early trauma, which I'm sure you read about in my book.
Yes.
I was premature and had been in an incubator for 3 months. So I didn't get that early bonding, that early nurturing. And it really set me up from day one to become a love addict because I was constantly searching for that love that I did not get in those early months. And then growing up the way I did, my mother wasn't all that present anyway. So it really was trauma based. And I was just searching in all the wrong places for that early love that I did not receive. Mm-hmm. So it's just important for people to understand that if they've made certain mistakes or they keep picking the same type of person over and over again, there are reasons for it. Well, it was just so great when I finally was able to like kind of nail it, you know, and label it like, oh, that's it. That's what it is. And I always knew I was different. And I knew that I always had this feeling of emptiness inside, this feeling of not being a part of, not belonging, not feeling good enough. And when I realized, oh my God, it was from the get-go. I mean, our bodies, we may not remember things in our brain, but our bodies don't forget that early trauma. Early surgeries. It could be early, you know, your parents get divorced. You have parents that are emotionally unavailable. Maybe they're addicts or alcoholics themselves. Maybe you were neglected. Maybe, God forbid, you were molested. I mean, whatever that early trauma is, it does set you up for not feeling like enough. And so you're always searching outside yourself to fill that empty hole.
Exactly. Yeah. And I did read your book, and I think it is really great because you were very generous in sharing your story. I was really touched reading your first pages. And you're leading the reader so brilliantly through, you know, the theoretical part into the work that we can do to start recovery, where you provide exercises and meditations. And you also talk about creating authentic partnerships. And today in this episode, I'd really like to focus on the phase of breaking up because it's really challenging. And, but before we do that, I'd like to ask some clarifying questions, especially because you're coming from the marriage and relationship addict. And I just remember reading on one of your pages where you're making a distinction between that and love addiction. So can you lay out the difference in your opinion about that in a nutshell?
Sure. I mean, love addiction is more about being in love with the idea of love. It relates more to fantasy and romance and the illusion of who you think someone is rather than who they really are. So relationship and marriage addiction kind of takes it one step further, and it's being obsessed with the idea of being in a relationship or a marriage and feeling really empty, lost, if not in a relationship or partnered up with another person. Mm. So it's almost like the same as a drug addict needing a fix for their drugs. The relationship and marriage addict needs to be in a relationship or goes through the same withdrawal experience, that craving, just like the drug addict craves the drugs, you're craving a relationship. So, you know, for me, it was going from relationship to relationship. And if I wasn't in a relationship or partner up, there was this proverbial, you know, emptiness that I felt, just like the addict feels when they're out of their drugs or alcohol. So it has the same, you know, biological component. It's the same chemicals working in your brain, and it's the same feeling of setting you up for that feeling of craving.
Yeah, right. And then you also make a distinction between codependency and love addiction, because a lot of people throw this word around like, oh, I'm codependent. But can you lay this out, like make a clear distinction between the two of these things?
Sure. I mean, codependency is all about needing to control people, places, and things. So you can be a codependent and a love addict, but you can also be a codependent without being a love addict. So you could be a codependent in the workplace. You could be a codependent in just trying to control other people, but that doesn't mean that you're an obsessive love addict or relationship addict. So they are two different things. So for example, I'm a love addict who was obsessed with my ex-husband at one time. Well, he was my husband and then ex-husband. So I was really a love addict, but I was also codependent because I was obsessed with controlling his sobriety. I was obsessed with getting him sober. I thought I could control his addiction. So it made me not only a love addict of needing a relationship, but I was also a codependent because I was in this place of control. Like I really wanted, I thought that I was his higher power and that I could control, you know, the outcome of his recovery, which of course turned out to not be so.
Mm. And in codependency, there's also an element of enabling an addiction. Is that right?
Right. I mean, I think that I did do some enabling. I mean, even though, you know, and I bring this up because even though I'm a therapist and I'm a certified recovery coach, you know, we are humans, you know, we make mistakes. And so the enabling probably was, you know, there were times that I, you know, would pick him up when he was drunk, or I would find a rehab for him. I sometimes gave him cash to put gas in his car, you know, when he really should have used that money. You know, I mean, he was using money for alcohol. So yes, I did some enabling things that I regret, but you know, this is just my journey, and I had to reach my proverbial bottom. I had to reach that place of brokenness where I no longer could help him. And for me, it was really getting sick. I got shingles. I lost hair. I got a staph infection. I got kidney stones. I mean, it really like affected me physically and of course emotionally. Yes. So I had to reach my bottom in order to stop, you know, enabling and stop this obsessive behavior, and had to really let him go. And the funny part is once I finally let him go, he actually did get sober. So we were kind of in a dance, and we just were not good for each other. So I send him love and light every day, and I pray for his sobriety, but I'm no longer attached. I am very detached from that situation.
And you said that love addiction is a problem energetically. What do you mean with that?
Well, I'm a big believer in the law of attraction, of course. So obsessing about what could have been in a relationship forces you to think about the lack of. So if I keep thinking about what if, I'm never going to bring in new love. I'm just focusing on what isn't or what didn't happen. Mm. So grieving is really important. And you also have to acknowledge the things that you're grateful for. Like, I'm grateful that I had that experience. Yes. I'm grateful that I learned so much from that experience. I'm a much better therapist today. I'm a much better, I have much more compassion for the illness. I really get it more than I've ever gotten it before. I mean, here I was working on a, you know, national TV show, and I was working at some of the, you know, high profile rehabs, running family programs. But here I got to actually firsthand experience it up close and personal. It just made me a much more empathic person in terms of the disease of addiction. So, so you want to be grateful for what you do have in your life, not what you don't have. Mm-hmm. And if you put your partner on a pedestal and make yourself wrong again, you'll keep attracting the same type of person over and over again. And so, mm-hmm. once I sent love and light to my ex, I let him go. I was able to attract, you know, positivity into my life. I was not coming from a place of lack or victim or, oh, I'm never going to meet anybody. I'm never going to be alone forever. I actually came from I had a very high positive vibration, which brought into my life a healthy relationship.
Yeah, that's like shifting the perspective and focusing on what is good instead of bad, right?
Exactly, exactly. And that really did make a difference in my life. I mean, there's no point in being angry or resentful. You know, when I brought my ex-husband back into my life, he actually was using the whole time and I didn't know it. He had made a commitment. I'm going to get a program. I'm going to stay sober. I'm going to go into recovery. I'm going to get a sponsor. He didn't do any of those things. And when I found that out, that he actually had been using the whole time, I could have come from a place of anger, resentment. Oh my God, I tried to help you get your life back, and this is what you did to me. I didn't do that. I just really realized that's what addicts do. They do lie, and that's just what it is. And it's just so freeing when you're not angry. You just wish them the best, and you detach. Like they say in the Al-Anon program, you detach with love. And I think by doing that, you bring healthy love into your life.
Yeah, true. So in today's episode, I wanted to focus on breaking up. And for many people, that is something that often is very hard to do. And it kind of seems impossible. I mean, I remember very well that in all my past relationships, I knew for years that I wanted to break up. But I couldn't bear to bring these words across my lips. So what is your suggestion of how to find the courage to break up earlier instead of wasting a couple of years of our precious life?
You know, just like when you go to see a therapist and the therapist guides you towards self-esteem or self-actualization or an understanding, maybe if trauma affected you or how your family of origin might have neglected you or abused you and how that has showed up in your future relationships, you're not going to get it until you're ready. You're not going to get it until you have that like moment of clarity. Just like I didn't get it until I got it. I had to have enough pain.
Yes.
You know, this goes, you know, if there isn't, what is it? If you have pain, there will be gain. I mean, you know, you'll only get it when you get it. You can't make somebody get it. You can have all the intellectual knowledge that you're not in a good relationship, or if you're in an abusive relationship, or you're in a dead end relationship.
Right.
But it's not until you really dive deeper into what it is that keeps you stuck. What is that early trauma that keeps you picking the same partners over and over again that aren't good for you, or what are the fears you have about being alone?
Yes.
Until you really dive deeper, you're not going to be able to have healthy relationships. So it's really just understanding what is that piece that you are stuck in? What is that piece where you are frozen? And you're going to get it when you get it, or there's I believe that there's that proverbial bottom, just like an addict has their proverbial bottom. Mm. We as codependents or love addicts have a bad picker, we're not going to get it until we really do reach that, that brokenness. And so you can't make it happen. I will say this, if you see red flags, you really need to like listen to that inner voice. We all have that inner voice. We all have that inner voice, you know, inner wisdom. We all have sort of that God voice, that universe talking to us. For me, I just never listened to it. And so it's really important to listen to it and get some clarity about it. But I think what happens is the fear of being alone, or the fear of something not working, or like the fear, oh, I'm getting too old, or there aren't any good men out there, or whatever those fears are. I think those fears are greater than your intuition. And when you allow the fears to be greater than your intuition, you're probably going to make the wrong decisions.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the moment we actually do break up, what can we expect to happen? How can we deal with this?
Well, if you're a love addict, you may feel the feelings of withdrawal symptoms, just like a drug addict feels when they need a fix. So that's what I was talking about earlier. And it's just agonizing, and it feels empty, and it can become very obsessive. You can get jealous. You can go into this panic. There's this sense of not knowing who you are, and the feeling you'll never find love again. But the positive side is you have the opportunity to become whole again. You know, withdrawing is the time to sort of meet your lost self, the self that you have sort of closed off, hidden from. It's the time to meet that authentic, precious self that you've been avoiding. Mm-hmm. So it's time for really stepping into self-love, self-care, healing, and healthier relationships. So, you know, this goes very deep, but when you grow up in a traumatic environment and you don't really get to know who you are because all of your feelings may be invalidated, or you're considered invisible in your family, you're not getting the love that you need. You really don't even develop a sense of self. Mm-hmm. So once you have this breakup or go through this withdrawal, it's this amazing time to actually meet that self that you've either never known, or if you've lost, or you've repressed. And so what an opportunity it is to really, really be the authentic you.
Right. And I was actually so shocked when I came out. I'm still recovering, but when I consider myself on a good path, I was really not impressed about who I found out who I was. Like, I was like, who are you? It was so unimpressive. And I really had to like find these little pieces of myself and what I stand for, what I believe in, and what I want to be like. It's like a whole new construction of yourself.
Yes.
It's a fun process because you're getting to know yourself finally.
Yeah. And, you know, people talk about it all the time. You know, we use these words like you have to love yourself before you love anyone else. And there's all of these, you know, adages, but the truth, that is the truth. Yes. You know, until you find yourself, you can't possibly love somebody else because, you know, you just can't. Yes. So even though it's said often, it's really true. And, the other part that's really exciting is waking up. You know, I have a whole program called Wake Up Recovery, and I work with codependents and love addicts and addicts. Mm-hmm. It's a group coaching program, and people can find it at wakeuprecovery.com. And it's really all about waking up to the authentic you, because that's really what happened for me. It was like, oh my God, he's not in the picture anymore. Now I'm awake. I'm no longer sleepwalking. I'm here, I'm present, I'm in the moment, and it's just incredible. It's like all of a sudden, you know, it's like someone who gets on antidepressants who's been depressed all their life. All of a sudden, they can hear the birds chirp, you know. It's like a whole thing is created, and it's very exciting. But a lot of people are afraid of that. They're afraid of that. They'd rather stay in their default position because that's what they've always known. But the truth of the matter is, stepping into the unknown are where all the great possibilities exist, where great love can exist. Mm.
You also focus on the importance of staying away from the person we've just broken up with. What? Tell us why this is so vital.
Well, I mean, there's the no contact rule. I mean, in other words, you think about an alcoholic goes out and has a drink. That drink is going to set them up for the next drink and the next drink and the next drink. I don't think you can, you know, for a while there, I was in touch with my ex-husband after he left. And I realized it was just constantly sort of having that drink again. You know, once you start that connection, that, you know, because what it is really the opposite of addiction is connection. And so what I was seeking was this connection. Healthy, you know, healthy or unhealthy, it wasn't really serving me to be connected to him, and it was keeping me from, you know, really giving my new relationship a chance because I was still kind of talking to him. So I had to learn the hard way that you really, you know, look for connection in healthy ways, not exes, because if you don't let go, you can't let in what is good for you.
Yes.
You know, he would say things like, well, you're my family. And, you know, often it's just a lot of manipulation where they're kind of keeping you sort of dangling, and they kind of want, you know, they just want to know that you're kind of there. But you have a part in this, and your part is that you're longing for this connection. And you gotta, it's about letting it go, because you can't bring, it's just not fair to your new life. It's not fair to you. It's not fair to your new relationship. It's just not, it doesn't serve you. So I have felt the most free by completely disconnecting.
Mm. And that's it's hard in the beginning, but it's really, it really results into something beautiful.
Well, what it is, and the reason it's hard, and I really want to have great compassion for anybody listening to this, it's a trauma bond.
Yes.
It's a bond that you have with this person that is hard to describe. Some say even it could be a bond from another lifetime, you know, if you believe in reincarnation or whatever. Mm. I had somebody, I did a past life regression, and of course, this is getting a little woo-woo, but if you do believe in that, I was told that, you know, this relationship with him was sort of like a mother-son relationship. Mm. And I made an oath that I would never let him go, or I would always be there for him. And it was so deep, I couldn't even understand it. So it could be some kind of connection from another lifetime. Who knows?
Yeah.
But it's really important to cut that cord.
Right. And what are some exercises we can do to allow healthy love into our life and eliminate the unhealthy parts?
So, you know, you want to make a list of important traits you want in a partner. You know, the universal laws of love will create the energy of the universe to bring you those things in a partner. Mm. So really affirm your attention to the universe, the ideal partner you would like to attract, and really have faith that the universe will do its part to bring that to you as long as you disconnect from the old. And when you put that out into the universe, things like, I'll never meet anybody, I'm too old, you're actually putting out this negative vibration. So it tells the universe that you are fearful. It tells the universe you're angry or resentful. Mm. And so in essence, you're saying, I don't trust you, universe. Well, just like you trust the sun's going to come out in the morning, you've got to trust the universe is going to do its best to bring you what you want as long as you create the thoughts that will attract that.
Yes.
So recognize the story you keep creating over and over again, not trusting universal laws. And remember, you know, what you put out to the universe expands. And by putting out fears, you'll never meet anybody. You're expanding all the energy in that story. So rewrite the story that you are worthy and deserving of you're going to allow the universe to bring you exactly what it is that you desire. What are those traits? And of course, nobody's going to be perfect, but what are the most important things? Yeah. And I would say this, that, you know, if you keep attracting these high intensity relationships, take a look at that and go, what is it that's missing inside of you that you need this high intensity? You know, the new relationship that I'm in, it's 7 months old, very, very slow, very steady, very calm. There's a flow, there's ease, there's no ups and downs, there's no drama. You know, that to me, for me, is healthy love. But sometimes people don't, they find that boring. So what is
yes.
of you that may be boring that you're expecting someone else to make you not bored?
Yeah,
because it starts with you. I mean, I needed those high intensity relationships because that's all I knew. I only knew about drama and trauma and fixing and the ups and downs. And once I realized, I don't want that anymore. Mm-hmm. That's when I really did attract something healthy.
Yeah, and you're also pointing out something important, because I think we can't just put our wishes out into the universe without having done the work that needs to heal before we actually can attract something new.
Well, yeah, the wishes are one thing, but then you also have to have discernment and clarity. Like, what is it that I want to attract? I mean, I made a conscious decision that I did not want any more drama. I did not want any more downs. I did not want to have that insane obsessive feeling, because that really isn't, quote, love. That's love addiction for me.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I agree with you.
It doesn't mean that you can't be attracted to the person. No, you're going to be attracted. You have to have chemistry.
Yes.
But it's goo goo gaga. Oh my God. I mean, I'm at a point in my life where that's adolescent love. That's childhood love. That's childhood fantasy. It doesn't work for me anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah. Most people find that it generally leads you into a very unhealthy space.
And what are the signs that indicate that one is ready and it is kind of safe for us to return to the dating field?
You know, when you've learned to live on your own and you no longer feel the need that someone else must complete you, or you or someone else must complete you to feel whole, you need to create your own life and be happy with or without a partner.
Right. And this goes hand in hand with my next question, because once we feel attracted to a new person, and obviously I consider this to be my next partner, there are, for me, in my experience, there are some pivotal moments where I have to be ultra careful. Like, yeah. What are these moments?
It was like what I was saying earlier. For me, if I start to feel obsessive or insecure, jealous, or fearful, yes, I know my picker's off. You know, I knew my present relationship was healthy because it was slow, it was steady, there were no ups and downs, it wasn't obsessive, there was no drama, it flowed, it's nurturing, it's supportive, it's intimate, and there's healthy communication. And we resolve issues. We don't just like let issues go by. We actually resolve them as uncomfortable as it can be. I think that for me is what a healthy whole relationship looks like.
Yeah, because
I want to go back a little bit about being on my own. You know, I spent about 4 years, you know, I joined a canoe club, I go canoeing, I joined a 12-step program, Al-Anon, I made new friends. I really just changed everything in my life and created a life so that I didn't have to, that person was not my life. Whoever I was going to bring into my life was going to be an add-on to my life, not be my life. And I think I was just always in these codependent, you know, enmeshed relationships. And I do love having a partner that's like my best friend, but I do also feel like if it's just your best friend, then there's something weird about that.
Yeah, no, you're right.
You need to also have that, like, kind of that spark or that mystery or that, you know, they can't, enmeshed relationships just really, they really don't work. They really don't work.
And I think at some point also the sexual chemistry totally goes away because there's nothing sparkly about the other person anymore.
Exactly. There's no mystery. And that's pretty much what happened. I mean, in my relationship, I became mock, you know, I became, you know, you and I'm gonna, you know, and it just had no sexiness to it whatsoever.
Yeah. I think we've all been there at some point or another. And when it comes to sex, I find this a particularly important step where we have to be super alert and not falling head over heels because our brain chemicals make it already hard. Any tips on this subject, such as when to have sex and how to go about it?
Well, I'm so amazed, like in my practice, in my coaching practice, my therapy practice, I'm amazed how fast people do hook up. I mean, I don't understand it because I don't even think that's very appealing, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, true whole lovemaking is a process of knowing someone. It's intimacy. And so I believe when it comes to a new relationship, I think it's important to wait to have sex. I mean, to really know your new partner. Do you feel safe? Do you feel secure? Is it supportive? Is it honest? Does it flow? Or is it filled with this high intensity feelings of dramas, ups and downs? Because if so, perhaps it's best to just move on from this person as a potential partner or sexual partner, because it's really the old way. Mm. That high intensity is what you know. Let's find something new and something safe, something nurturing. And again, I'm sure people are listening going, oh my God, that sounds so boring. But actually, it really isn't boring. That's really true love.
Yes.
Really, in my opinion.
And it's something I think we really have to learn because of the old imprint that we carry around. So yeah, I think we have to experiment with that and at least allow that in.
Well, and also I think, you know, let's go back to like evolution. I mean, men want to conquer. And if you're going to be sleeping with somebody right away, they've already conquered you. So that's really, I mean, I'm not saying that this is always the case, but I think when you sleep with them right away, I think the whole evolutionary thing is kind of done. And then all of a sudden you think you're in love because you've slept with them, or you think you really like them, or you think they owe you something, or they owe, you know, or you owe them something. Yeah. It just gets really messy.
Yeah.
So I think it's really all about slowing everything down. There's no rut. God.
Yeah.
I know that when I was young, I had to sleep around because that's how I felt people showed love. That's how people, that's what I thought love was, and getting that attention and that validation. But it has to come from you and healthy places, not from hooking up with somebody. And I'm really strong. I feel really strongly about this.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I'm getting to this point also because even like from a protection point of view, I want to protect myself because I know if I hook up too fast, I'm going to be hijacked by my brain chemicals. And that makes it already hard to keep a clear mind. Yeah. And how can you make sure that the passion for your partner stays within a healthy territory?
Well, if you're both comfortable with your sexual desires, your needs, how often you're agreeable on sexual requests, you're most likely in a healthy sexual relationship. You know, I'll give an example. One person likes watching porno, and if the other one doesn't, that's something you're going to have to figure out. But if you both like watching it, great. You know, needs kind of have to be the same. Or if you're watching porno and you're not having sex with your partner because you're too busy watching porno, there's probably a problem there because you're not available to your partner. So what are your, you know, what are your sexual mores? What is it you both are comfortable with? If your needs conflict and you're asked to do something that you're uncomfortable with, then you really need to communicate this with your partner. And you may realize that you're not a match, perhaps, in that way. And if your partner doesn't respect that, it's probably time to rethink the sexual relationship. So you have to just kind of, it's a very important question, you know, are you on the same wavelength? Do you want the same things? There's no, like, judgment, you know. Yes. If you both are okay with whatever this, you know, sexual position is or whatever it is, if you're okay and you're both okay with it, great. But if one of you feels really uncomfortable and you're doing something that is not a value to you, or you feel like it goes against your sexual principles, then you really need to kind of rethink. But giving in to somebody else's desires when it goes against who you are is not healthy for you as a person.
Yeah, right. I agree. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how our listeners can work with you. What are you currently working on, and where can they find you?
Well, I'd love for them to pick up my book, The Marriage and Relationship Junkie, that's on Amazon. Again, it's The Marriage and Relationship Junkie, Kicking Your Obsession. I have a website, sherrygaba.com. So if they're interested in any kind of coaching or if they're local, I have a private practice here in Southern California in Westlake Village, but I also do coaching on Skype. Or, you know, Zoom or whatever is convenient. And then I have this other program called Wake Up Recovery, which is for addicts, alcoholics, and codependents, and love addicts, and anybody that sort of wants to kind of bridge the gap between addiction and codependency. They want to use some law of attraction principles to get to the next level in their recovery. A lot of people get stuck. They go to 12-step programs, but they're sort of stuck. So this sort of is the next level. And it's really, really inexpensive. It's $19 a month. And it's a full membership program where they get audio interviews, they get meditations, they get a 10-week course, they get live coaching. It's you know, a lot of people can't afford coaching. So I want to offer this to everybody.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so that's it. So the book, The Marriage and Relationship Junkie, my website, sherrygaba.com or wakeuprecovery.com.
Amazing. I really want to thank you for sharing your work, for doing such amazing work, and for taking the time to come on the show.
You are so welcome, and thank you for everything you're doing as well.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day. Bye, Sherry.
So that's it for today's episode of the Addicted to Love podcast. Head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week will win a Love Makeover private coaching with Aaliyah Ava herself. Be sure and go to addictedtolovepodcast.com to subscribe and get your free copy of Aaliyah Ava's Love Addiction Mirror. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Addicted to Love is created and presented by TheRoyalPath.com.